Again, I remind you that we have come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I hope that your heart will be blessed greatly. Will you turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 6? John chapter 6. The Gospel of John chapter 6. Beginning with verse 48, Jesus said, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in him. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so is he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Oh, Father, we pray now that thou wilt bless these moments. You know our human frailty, oh God. As your word says, we know not even how to pray as we ought, let alone understand your word as it is. So we pray that in these moments, that Holy Spirit of God, you will teach us. Teach us those things that we need to know and those things that we need to rebuff. Help us, O God, by your strength and in your will, reveal to us your word and teach us that which we need to know. Guide us in these moments, O thou great Jehovah. We call upon thee and seek you now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus here is teaching his apostles. Just previous to this, if you were to back up in the Scripture, you would see that Jesus did miraculous things, but his disciples were not getting it. You go back to chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, he fed the 5,000. But his disciples weren't getting it. He walked on water in chapter 6, and verse 19, where the scripture there says, So when they have rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. And still they were not getting it, who Jesus was. And so then chapter 6, verse 35, where Jesus then says to them, I am the bread of life. He is now going to teach them about himself. He is going to reveal more to them, to himself, so that they understand. And he reveals himself in that 47th verse of the scripture. He says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Jesus here is making that categorical statement to them so that they will finally understand. The way to the bread of Jesus here, as he's talking about it, He that believeth on me hath that everlasting life. The way to the bread is by believing on Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, this is not talking about just saying, oh, yeah, I believe that Jesus lived. It's not just saying, oh, I believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Oh, I believe that Jesus was born of the Virgin. It means by placing your confidence that he died for you on the cross, that you are a sinner and that you need Christ as your Savior, and that he was buried and that he rose again from the grave in that resurrected body, and that if you believe on him as the only way to go to heaven, that you then will have everlasting life, that way to life. And the promise of the bread, Jesus says here, I am the living bread. He that believeth on me has everlasting life. It is eternal life in the bread, Jesus Christ. He is the person of that, as he's revealing here. I am that bread of life. Jesus said to his disciples, I mean, he's trying to hit them right between the eyes with a 2x4. All right, you guys, you saw me feed the 5,000. Where do you think that power came from? You saw me walk on the water. Have you ever seen that from anyone else? Duh! They weren't getting it. Jesus now is saying to them, listen, guys, I am the bread of life. I am the way to eternal life. Jesus is the only way to that eternal life. In this passage, he claims and says, I am the living bread. He goes on to explain that in verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. He says, previous to that, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread. He's making this comparison to them, to the manna that God sent down from heaven for the Old Testament Jews when they were in the wilderness. And he says to them, and brings it down to that point where he says that I am that living bread. He is revealing himself there, that like the manna, that was a miracle. Every day God fed them. Every morning the children of Israel got up and there was manna on the ground for them to eat in the wilderness. Elsewise, they would have starved to death. God supplied for them. Jesus is saying, I am the manna. I am the revelation of the bread of life. I am that living bread. Now, manna was temporary. Do you remember that? Manna came in the morning. If they didn't pick it up during the early part of that day, the manna would evaporate. It would disseminate itself, and it would go away. And Jesus was here temporarily. He came to this earth as the living bread, like the manna, but it was temporary. He wasn't going to be on earth forever. He came to minister and claiming to his disciples, hey guys, I'm not going to be here forever like the manna wasn't. But he said, I am eternal. That living bread that is eternal, that will be forever. And he was talking to them about going back to heaven and being our intercessor in heaven. He talks to them in this passage then about eating, that this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. He's talking about eating that bread. He's talking about partaking of that bread personally, voluntarily, internally, taking that bread, the manna, that they did, that then became part of their body and became life-sustaining for them. And he's talking here about how necessary that is for eternal life. Listen, if you don't take the bread of life, you won't live. You will die. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. It is the living bread is that which we must take personally by believing on the Lord Jesus and by receiving him as our Savior. And that's what Jesus is talking about to his disciples here. So what specifically is this living bread? Jesus goes on in verse 51 and says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus here is talking about this sacrifice that he's going to make for the sins of the world. And he talks about this. He says, my flesh, how that the bread that I give is my flesh. It is his body. He died on the cross for our sins. He was the sacrifice for our sins. That is whereby we must believe on him. He died for me, a sinner. He paid the price for me. Jesus here, speaking to his disciples about it. And notice he says here, and the bread that I give is my flesh. That is, that I voluntarily give. That is, I voluntarily sacrifice. Jesus was talking about his death on the cross. No man was going to take his life. He gave his life to be the propitiation, to be the sacrifice for our sins. And he says in this passage, which I will give for the life of the world. It is that he was going to be the bread of life, and he was going to give himself sacrificially to die for our sins for all who will believe. That's what 1 John 2:2 says. And he is the propitiation, or the sacrifice, for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He died. He is the Messiah. He said, I am the bread of life. He wanted to make sure that his disciples got it. But verse 52 tells us about an objection that came from the Jews. And verse 52 says, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They were envisioning cannibalism. And they were looking at everything in a human way instead of looking at it spiritually the way Jesus was trying to speak to them. They could not get it because they didn't have spiritual eyes to see. They didn't have they had not believed and received, and because of that, the Bible says they strove among themselves. Spiritual truth does not compute to earthly minds. It is spiritually discerned. It is something that cannot be understood by unspiritual, ungodly people. And these Jews are a classic example of not understanding what Jesus was talking about. So they said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? We would not eat that. That would be cannibalism. Do you know that that has taken, that disbelief, unbelief, has taken its place in religious realms, even in Protestantism, even in what the world would call Christianity, the loose, broad sense of it. For example, in Roman Catholicism, it's called transubstantiation. long theological term, transubstantiation. It means Catholics believe, still believe, that the elements in the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup, that they turn into the literal body and blood of Jesus. They believe that it is when they take the bread, that it literally, when they eat it, goes into their body, it becomes the body of Christ in them. And that the blood becomes the literal blood of Jesus in them. That's the doctrine of transubstantiation. It's really an outgrowth of from a misinterpretation of this passage. Like the Jews got it wrong and assumed that it was something that it was not. In Lutheranism and in some of the other mainline denominations, they believe in the Lord's Supper, they call it consubstantiation. The other was transubstantiation. The Catholics, these so-called Protestants, believe in consubstantiation. And that is, they believe the elements are not literally changed into the body and the blood of Jesus, but they are spiritually turned into the body and blood of Christ when they are taken inside of us. That's consubstantiation, kind of just a watered-down version of transubstantiation. Those are all the doctrines of men, because Jesus dispels all of that by his word and by giving us the explanation here. So there are still objections today to the sacrifice of Jesus and what it really represents. But Jesus went on to explain what it really means. By the way, when you study the Bible, when there's something that you don't understand completely in the scripture, you read the context, read what's before, you read what's after it to get the explanation from the Bible. And then if you don't get it there, you go to other passages that are cross-references to it, and it'll give you the answer to them. So Jesus goes on to explain it here for these Jews, and he says, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." This is the testimony of eternal life. It's talking here, Jesus here is talking about eating the bread and the body of the Lord, and he's talking about how that it is symbolic of his sacrifice on the cross, of his body, and of his blood on the cross. It's a perfect picture of that when we have the Lord's Supper. It is Jesus' body that is broken. They beat him, they stabbed him, they nailed him to the cross, they jammed the thorns in his brow, they pierced his side. Jesus suffered on that, agonizing on that cross for us, and it was symbolic of his body. When we take that bread, we crush it between our teeth, we are symbolizing what Jesus did, and more personally, what I did as a sinner. He died for me. He was broken on the cross for me. That's exactly what the Lord's Supper does. And when we take of that cup and that purplish color, that purplish colored liquid that we take, and we then drink it, we are remembering the blood that Jesus, the eternal, precious, wonderful blood of Jesus that he spilled on the cross for us and sacrificing for us. So Jesus here is explaining that he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me. That is, when we partake of him, partake of the Lord's Supper, we are testifying that we are believers. We believe in what he did on the cross for us. And we believe in him. Jesus is saying. It is symbolical. This testimony of eternal life. And Jesus gives us that picture in verse 56. He goes on to say, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." He's saying, my body is food indeed. Pictured in in that which we partake of in the Lord's Supper, and how that it is that food for life. His body is feed and food indeed, pictured in the bread that we take. And he says, "My blood is beverage indeed. My blood is drink indeed," pictured in the fruit of the wine, fruit of the vine that we take in the cup. And so it is that which Jesus says is a picture of what he did on the cross. He's trying to do this categorically and meticulously so that his disciples, who have really been kind of out of it and not getting it, will get the message. And what is the promise then? Jesus gives us the promise of eternal life, which is the crux of it all. He says, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." It's the promise of eternal life. Because you take the Lord's Supper in testimony of him, God promises resurrection as Jesus was resurrected in him. And it's because of that that we have that resurrection. The Bible says this, talking about that resurrection of the dead and the rescue of living believers. "For the dead, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." He is talking here about that resurrection of the dead, when the dead in Christ rise first. This is the rapture. This is when the Lord calls his people home. And the dead in Christ, that is dead believers, they then will be raised up first, that will go to be with the Lord. "Then we which are alive and remain," we're still on earth, "then we will be caught up to meet them in the air with the Lord." Jesus here referring to this this truth. So based upon these truths, he's speaking to these Jewish skeptics, remember. If you Jewish skeptics will not commemorate the body and the blood of Christ, then you have no spiritual life in you. He is giving them their condemnation. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." They refused to accept him as the Messiah. That's the reason that they would not partake of the Lord's Supper. They were unbelievers. And Jesus is categorically saying to them in no uncertain terms, "You have no eternal life in you." You see how important it is when we take the Lord's Supper. You see what it is symbolizing and what it means, and how important it is in your testimony, and in your testimony to others, and in the testimony of a local church that practices that ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Well, Jesus is teaching us all about that. And he's teaching us the source then to his disciples about the living bread. "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." Jesus here is talking about how that he was sent by the Father. And how that Jesus came to this earth, not because he dreamed this up, but because this is the will of the Father. This was the obedience of the Son, and this was complemented by the Holy Spirit. God is three in one. He is the triune God. He is the almighty God that is one being, God. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit agree. So the Father sent him, and Jesus says, I live by the Father. He is talking about his obedience to the Father. When Jesus came to this earth, he humbled himself and became a man and became obedient unto the death of the cross. Jesus willing to obey what the Father's will was for him. And he's saying this as the living bread. And he's making that comparison that a believing person receives eternal life through that sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus on the cross. So the comparison then is completed here. This is that bread that came down from heaven. Do you get the picture? Jesus is saying to his disciples, this, pointing to himself, he's saying, this is the bread. I am the living bread. This is the bread which came down from heaven. You haven't been getting it. But he's saying, I am that living bread. Jesus talking about himself. And he says, not as your fathers did eat manna in the Old Testament. Your fathers are dead. They ate the manna that God sent down from heaven. But he's talking about, he that eateth this bread shall live forever. When you partake of this bread, the bread of life, Jesus Christ, by believing on him and by receiving him as the only hope, as the only way to eternal life, then you have eternal life, and you have it in Jesus Christ. This is that bread. So the Lord's Supper time is a sacred time. It is a fearful time of remembrance and self-examination. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know that every time we have the Lord's Supper, I read this passage. And because I'm trying to impress upon us what the Apostle Paul said when he gave to the church at Corinth, sacred, how important this time is together. This then shows why this sacred time is so important. Listen to these words. 1 Corinthians 12, or chapter 11, verse 23 to 30. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye drink this bread, or eat this bread, and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. The Lord's Supper is a sacred time to us as the people of God. Jesus is teaching his disciples how important it is that we are careful, that we are sensitive, that this is a time of remembrance, and that this is a time of self-examination, that we are in the faith, that we are children of God, that we have settled it with God, that we have been born of his Spirit, that we are his. Years ago, when I was a young preacher, my first church, my in-laws, my wife's family, came down to visit us at the church. They were from Michigan. We were in Mississippi. My first church was in Mississippi. And so we were having the Lord's Supper that day. And, you know, not every church serves the Lord's Supper the way that most Baptist churches do, by passing it out and partaking it together. There are different little variations. Well, this church was a little different, too. And till I got them turned around to do it the way we do it now, first time or two that we served the Lord's Supper, their tradition was that they came to the altar across the front, and that I served them the bread, and they partake it, and then partook of it, and then I gave them the cups, and they drank the cup there, and then left the cup right there at the altar, and then they would get up, and another bunch from the church would come and do it. Just a different way of doing it. Truthfully, I didn't like it because it took so long, and it lost some of its emphasis. Because I'm a German, I like things to be done efficiently. But be that as it is, so we were serving the Lord's Supper that way, and to the across the front, and my wife's family was there, and her little brother was, I guess, about 10, was 12. She's 12 years old. And so the people came, the next couple of rows came, and they were going to partake of the Lord's Supper. And they came down, and her brother came down. And so I knew that he had not made that decision. But he came down, and he knelt at the altar, and her mother, who was in the next row back, got up and came down and knelt down beside him and whispered in his ear. Now, because I was right there, because I was going to be serving people, I heard what she said. And she said, "Honey, you haven't trusted Jesus. You can't take the Lord's Supper." And he looked up at her, 12-year-old boy, and I saw the tear in his eyes. And she said, "You need to go back and sit down. Do not do this." And he got up and he went back to his seat. And the people who were there got served the Lord's Supper. She did the right thing. Because the Bible says, "He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." The parents, that's what a godly parent does for their child. And that's what a friend does who has invited a friend to church who doesn't know any better. You warn them. You protect them. You help them. Because the Bible says it brings that for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. God takes it seriously. Do you take it seriously? It is the Lord's Supper. And Jesus here is teaching his disciples about how important it really, truly is for the church, for the individual, for the testimony to others, This is of great importance, and it's tied directly to his purpose in why he came to die on the cross for us, and that he was buried and he rose again. It is truly part of the gospel, and how important that is in the taking of the Lord's Supper. In any case, Jesus here is teaching his disciples who didn't get it. They say, "Pastor, why are you teaching that?" Because sometimes amongst the disciples, there's some folks that don't get it yet, what it's all about. And I want you to know how grave and how important this truly is. This is not something to be taken lightly. This is of grave importance. And when we partake of that bread, and we are holding that bread in our hand, and we are waiting while the rest of the people are served, that is a time for us to remember what Jesus did for us. That is a time for us to examine and say, "Lord, I remember when I trusted you. I remember when I believed on you. I know that it's settled with God." That's what that time is for. And then when we partake of that, and we take that cup in our hand, and we are waiting for everyone else to get served, that's the time for us to remember the blood that he spilled, the agony that he suffered, the tragedy of Jesus dying for our sin, and how that this represents his blood that covers our sin. And we take that into our body because he is the living bread. If you haven't made that decision, you see how important it is to make that decision? If you haven't settled that decision with God, there is no hope for eternity. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then when we partake of the Lord's Supper, it's the testimony that we have settled that decision with God, that it is settled in heaven forever. If you're not sure that you've made that decision, why not settle it today? Why not trust him and believe on him? Settle it that you know that it's settled with God in heaven. If you do know, rejoice in the Lord, delight in the Lord, and magnify and glorify him. Father God, we come to thee this day in the name of Jesus, thanking you, O God, for your blessed eternal truth. And so I pray, O God, that anyone under the sound of my voice, maybe somebody who's seeing this stream, maybe someone, O God, that is hearing it some other vehicle, that God, they have not trusted you, may today be the day that they call out to you, believing on you, repenting of their sin, and turning unto Jesus because of your sacrificial death and because of your blessed resurrection from the grave. Oh God, have your own way, we pray, Lord Jesus. We ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name.